The generation that's on fire for God, not going through the trappings of religion because they're going to heaven, but because they believe in covenant and they believe in their land and they believe what the Bible says and they believe that they're these children. They have confidence in who they are in Christ Jesus here now. They pray with power and they believe with power and they know the word of God and they exercise the word of God. Their feet is on the rock. It's not on the shaking sand. They're raising their families in the admonition of the Lord. They'll call out a preacher when he's lying, or they'll call out things that are wrong, and they'll say, listen, family, we're not listening to this. The Bible doesn't read like that, and the Holy Ghost inside of me won't let me put up with it. But today I'll stand over my family and I'll pray in the name of Jesus in the power of the Holy Ghost, where dads will stand up at the kitchen table and pray in the power of God.
You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Friscup. This message was recorded on April 29, 2026, and is titled, Mighty in Your Shoes. So grab your Bible, turn to the book of Genesis, and let's join Steve and the message.
I got a challenge for you this week that's as minuscule a challenge as anybody could have, and I promise you it'll scare the heebie-jeebies out of some of you. But I watched a little deal on the thingamajig here the other day, and it was a little FedEx gal. Sweet little gal drove a FedEx truck. Do you know a FedEx truck don't have time to stop and visit? Now, you got to get gone. They give them like 150 stops a day or something. They got to go. And she pulled up to a mailbox or deal, and the lady came out, small talk, how are you today, how are you today? When it turned around, the how are you today to that lady, tears welled up in her eyes, and she wasn't having a very good day. Didn't even really know each other's name. FedEx driver, she goes off. She's got about 20 more stops. She goes about two more clicks, turns around, comes back. Goes and finds that lady and says, can I pray for you? Nobody knows the results. Nobody knows what they prayed for. She made a little Facebook post because she wanted her family to understand why she keeps telling them that being a FedEx driver is her ministry. She must have had one of them families that want to slap a necktie on you and sit you on a bench once a week and call that Christianity. Never believing that outside the building is where it all happens. She got 22 million views. A story about turning a FedEx truck around and just simply praying for a stranger. 22 million views. You know what that tells me? There's a whole world out there that's hungry for something that's real, and they didn't give two flips about this phony stuff we've been doing. They're ready for something that's real. So I have made it my vow that I am going to pray for somebody at God's direction. That's what she said. I just kept asking God, give me somebody to pray for. I'm going to pray for somebody every week. Since I've made that vow, I've prayed for at least one person every day. Not because they asked me to, but I knew I was supposed to, and I knew they needed it, and I went and did it. What if Christianity wasn't about you coming here sitting on a bench? What if every one of you decided you're going to pray for somebody once a week? Not in your prayer closet. Nope, we're going to come outside. We're going to turn the UPS truck around. We're going to drive up to the lady's yard, and we're going to pray in the name of Jesus. Wow, I wonder if that would change anything. You think? You know why? Because you got to be mighty past your shoelaces. Last story. This pedigree stuff matters to me. Couple reasons. One, I'm the last Friskip on the planet. There's a couple spelled F-R-I-S or F-R-I-C-O-P-P in Sweden. But the F-R-I-S-K-U-P is done. There's two listed, me and my dad, and he's dead. That's the end of it. Some will say, praise the Lord. When you come to that realization, it's a little bit of a game changer. But then there's this horse sale thing I do. And man, now I've done it over 40 years. Been right there at the NCHA Futurity, the biggest cutting horse sales in the world. Sold the highest horses you can sell for money. Some of them were simply great in their own shoes. You never heard from them again. Some of them even had a hard time. They brought a lot of money and had a hard time even being great in their own shoes. Didn't get paired up right or whatever. But I remember two horses. One of the horses that has influenced my life and our livelihood and everything else more than any horse in the last 50 years has been a horse called Highbrow Cat. Highbrow Cat was an amazing horse. He was mighty in his own shoes, and he's still influencing the equine industry in a big way today. When he first came on the scene was about the time I was coming on the scene. I had the opportunity to sell the dispersal sale for Jack Wagner, the guy that owned Highbrow Cat. He had another one at the same time called Cat's Red Feather. Born in the same barn, a lot of the same blood, got the same feed, same stall cleaner, same horse trainer, same cows they worked on. Cat's Red Feather was pretty mighty in his own shoes. He something 200 something thousand or something, don't quote me on all that, but he did real good. No colts. Oh, there's a handful here and there, but never showed up. Generationally, I just want you to think about it for a minute. One day he's in the show pen and he's winning. We're getting the prizes. Everything's great. Getting the accolades. Get your picture in the magazine. And then just in a matter of less than a decade, gone. And then there's a Highbrow Cat who just wouldn't go away. And so I was there when Metallic Cat won the Freshman Sire Awards as a 3-year-old or 4-year-old. I was there when he got his start, one of the most prolific stallions in our business today. He's the sire of great horses like Stevie Ray Vaughan and some of those that we've sold for a lot of money, and they've done great things and produced, and they're just everywhere. I mean, they're just everywhere. And it just looks like they're all good to some degree. Highbrow Cat's been off the books now for a long time. But kind of like the family of Shem. That bloodline just keeps going and keeps producing and keeps showing up and keeps making a difference and keeps adding to the atmosphere, keeps things on a positive note. Do you know what makes cutting horses very unpalatable? When they can't find a cow. Kind of like a church that can't find Jesus. It just don't work very good. We're going through the motions. We got all the stuff. But that pedigree right there, that bloodline right there, simply won't go away. Highbrow Cat was amazingly great beyond his shoes. past his days of the show pen, past his own days of glory. And the next ones were better than him. He had a genetic trait. He had one on some of them colts, one foot would go south. The ones that went the most south, they really cut. But he's outproduced himself. I just want to use that today as a little challenge. Have we ever made it our desire to outproduce ourselves? I mean, if you came up in the, you know, old enough that you've been around during the Depression, where your grandpa or your great-grandpa would save the nuts and bolts that were laying in the dirt and put them in a can because you're afraid you'd never have nuts and bolts again. When you went and cleaned out their garage for the garage sale after they died, I mean, there's just stuff, man, a lot of stuff. And out of that generation came a group of people that wanted their children to have more than they had. We wanted a better life, so we thought college would give it. We wanted a better life, so a new car at graduation would give it. We wanted them to have a better life, so we're going to accumulate all we can accumulate so we can hand it off to them one of these days. But somewhere in the process, we lost sight of the father-son relationship. We lost sight of the children of the promise. We lost sight of passing on our faith. We lost sight of some of the things that were going to be the most important that would show up according to the lineage of Shem. A bloodline that's supposed to produce. A bloodline that has all power. A bloodline that has all favor. A bloodline that has the full attention of God Almighty. Sometimes I wonder if we didn't trade it all for a bowl of stew. Swap it off for whatever smells good right under our nose. You see, this should smell good. A lot of empty seats. A lot of people not interested. You know, if you did this in the right tribe on a Sunday morning and just challenge people to pray with somebody once a week, do you know there's people that wouldn't come back? Now, you people are crazy. Y'all be back. Y'all people are crazy enough, you'll go out there and pray with somebody. This is the stuff that's important. Where you end up after you die, you should have settled that a long time ago. Now, move on to something else. It's what we leave behind us. Do I stand up here and wish that I wasn't telling this at 66 years old? I wished I'd have known this at 36. I didn't. There's a lot of stuff I can't go back and fix. But there's a lot of stuff I don't have to do over either. I can do different. Just like tonight. One music leader made me think about how I think and speak. I can do different. I can pray for somebody tomorrow at the direction of the Lord. I can do my best to make a difference. Try to do it in a place that maybe I'll get the chance to help my own family find their way into this very solid teaching and very solid bloodline that's so important. So I hope y'all grasp some of that tonight. I hope y'all realize how important this is. This is important. I hope you'll continue to stay in the teaching. I hope you'll go home and read this again over and over and over for the rest of your life. You begin to understand and you begin to see, not see it how I see it how the Lord opens your eyes to see it. Open your mind to know it. Put these things into practice and realize the confidence that comes by knowing that you're in the bloodline of Shem. You truly are a blessed people. Because of that, we should praise Jesus in the drought. Because we're a blessed people. And in the midst of the droughts and the bad reports and the different things, we should stand flat-footed and praise the Lord Jesus Christ for bringing us in to a bloodline that's everlasting. And it's all God. All God. So that's all I got tonight. That's enough. Let's pray and get out of here. But here's the deal. While we're praying, those of you on the other side of that camera, if you got something going on and we need to stand with you and pray right now, I want you to text it in to Leonard, type it in there somewhere, and we're going to lift that up at the end. If you're sitting in this room tonight and you want somebody to lay their hands on you, pray for you, God, you need God to work a miracle in your life, we're going to stand and we're going to praise Jesus. And we're not going to stand and glorify the problem. We're just going to stand and glorify the Lord and help each other, encourage each other with how we think, how we speak. So when I get done praying, some of y'all head for the cookies. You need them. Some of you may want to come up here. And one thing I want to tell you before I quit on that. Do you know why I turn y'all loose now? And every now and then, about every week, one or two or three of you come down here and get prayer, get a word. Because I ain't doing this for show. We're not here to show off God. He's plenty good at showing off himself. We're not here to promote Steve. I've already been through that phase. It's a bad phase. Nope, but I am your friend, and I'll stand here with all the faith I got. May not be enough, but I'll give you all I got, and we'll pray, and we'll hug, and we'll do, and then we'll go on and start walking it out. That's how we do. We're not going to change the lights. We're not going to change the sounds. We're not going to change the smells. We're just going to talk to Jesus, and we're going to trust him and him alone, okay? So, Lord, I want to thank you tonight, Jesus, for your word. I thank you for all this represents tonight, Lord. It's just so good and so much. Tonight, Lord, I'm asking you before we go any further to forgive me for the negativity, for speaking the curse, for everything. Tonight, Lord, I ask you to forgive me. Give me a clean slate where I can start over and do better. Lord, I want to thank you for Jim tonight that you used to admonish me that I can be better going out than I was coming in. I thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. It's your Spirit, Jesus, that'll quicken me when I'm headed to the ditch. That you'll woo me out of the ditch and get me up on the road, and that you'll show me where to be and what to say, and you're ever present, you're never away. Lord, I just want to thank you. Forgive me. Forgive me when I become a Nimrod and start doing things on my own. Lord, I just want to be a son of Shem by being a son of you, Jesus. Bless everyone who's heard this word tonight, Lord, and I pray that it'll take root in every mind, every heart, that, God, we begin to glean confidence, faith, and surety by knowing we're here on purpose, for a purpose, as your children in the earth. We reclaim the generations with our voices, Lord. Now let our feet follow. We give you all the glory, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. God bless you guys.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org, or on YouTube as Mule Shoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Mule Shoe Fellowship, God bless.